when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Your heart's cry, friends. Amen. That's what I want to have is Jesus. Take the world, take all this strife and turmoil and all the chaos that the world tries to give you. Amen. My place is Jesus. I hope that's your desire. Amen. Let's sing this little song, continuing in worship. Do you want to know? Well, do you want to know where I'm going? Where I'm going soon. Anybody ask you where I'm going? Where I'm going to? Oh, I'm going up yonder. Yonder, heart it could bring. Comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. And as God gives me grace, amen, I'm gonna run the race until I see my Savior face to face. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. Take the pain, oh, the heartache it brings. Comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. And as God gives me grace, I'm gonna run the race until I see my Savior face to face. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. God is good. God is good. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, oh, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. And if you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, for He will guide you. For He's promised to never leave you or forsake you. Oh, and His word is good. God is good, yes, all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, oh, His light will shine. God is good. Hey, God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy, yet for us He chose. He filled us with His Holy Spirit so we can stand and testify. Oh, that His love is everlasting, and His mercy, hey, they will never end. God is good all the time. Song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good God is good all the time. Oh, I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got His life, His nature, and His ability. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. Oh yes, I've got the life of God in me. I've got His life, His nature, and His ability. I've got the life of God in me. One more time, church. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. Oh, I've got His life, His nature, and His ability. I've got the life of God in me. Oh, hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name. Walking with the King. Hallelujah. I'm walking with the King. Every day I'm walking with the King. Oh, hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name. Walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Every day I'm walking with. Hosanna, hey, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord. My salvation, Hosanna, hey, blessed be the rock, oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Well, glory, glory to His name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Well, Jehovah Jireh is His name. He provided all my need. Jireh is His name, and He provided all my need. Hey, Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Hey, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Praise You, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't he lovely? Amen. I love to praise his name. I love to give him glory. He deserves it all anyways. Ain't that right, friends? Amen. Musicians, you can play something softly there. We're going to turn it over the service now to our special needs. And we'll just invite the deacons also to come forward and take up an offering at the end of the mentioning of this list. It's good to have the drum family back with us. Just want to say hey to y'all. It's just a blessing. And we always love to have you with us. I know it's tough to get here, but it's just a pleasure and an honor to worship with you, brother, sister. We got some families that are not with us today, and we want to remember them in prayer. The Males, Clayvilles, Harwells, Javeds, the Britons, all of them are not with us today. We want to keep them in our prayers. God, bring them safely back to our assembly. Amen. Really want to remember Sister Sabrina in prayer this morning, Stephen's family. Her mother is not doing so well, and we just want to hold her up in prayer. Lord's will would be done in that situation. So, Sister Sabrina, we want you to know that we're praying for you in your situation. And if you will, remember Sister Haley and Sister Megan in prayer. They're near their time, and I know that's tough on them. I'm sure they wish that this portion would be over and they could get on with the rest of it. So first comes the sorrow and then the joy. So we're going to pray for them, that God would just carry them through this time. My heart goes out to them. If you would, remember Sister Melody and Melody Cross in prayer. She's not feeling well today. My brother Matt put that request in, so we're going to hold Sister Melody up in prayer. And if you'd remember the Whitlock family and Sister Tina Knobloch in your prayers. Amen. Brother Josh Godwin, would you come forward, brother, and take these needs to the Lord for us? And if you have unspoken prayer requests, you can make them known at this time, friends. My Heavenly Father sees your need. Let's pray together.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful, Lord, to be able to gather together, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would just bless us, Lord, this afternoon and be with the needs, Lord, especially the ones that need a special touch, Lord, from you that are sick. Pray, Lord, that the ones that are away, you just give them a wonderful time, Lord, with their families and their fellowship, Lord, and just bring them back home safely, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would just be with the minister, Lord, this afternoon, and that you would just come down and visit with us, Lord, and to minister, Lord, to us in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would just be with these tithes and these offerings, Lord. That you would just bless the gift and the giver, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Brother Josh. You can have your seats. Let's sing that little song Sister Becky's playing. Such a beautiful song. The goodness of God. Amen. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am faithful, I will God. And I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest days, you've been close. like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down from any giant. Oh no, 'cause I know how this story ends. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Sing it out, church. Well, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. And the heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. And you have no rival. Now and forever, well, yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. Oh, I'm gonna see your victory, I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to me. Oh, and I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Sing it again now. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Hey, yes. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Oh, you turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Would you stand and sing? I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Amen. As our pastor makes his way, let's sing that song together. Blessed be. Blessed be. Blessed be. Blessed be. Your name, blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name. Let your people proclaim, you are holy, you are holy.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we begin this morning, let's pray together, and let's bring these needs before the Lord. There were some that Brother Jaron did not have. Ethan and Anna are still away today, and we want to remember them, the James family as well. Sister Sabrina Stevens, they're with their family today with mom and dad. And Sister O'Berry's just hanging on very, very slimly today. And we just want to pray that the Lord will undertake for them and to ease her suffering. And it's just been 14 long years since she had an aneurysm and has been bedridden basically ever since then. So we just want to pray that the Lord would have mercy in that situation. Sister Sabrina also has sciatic issues and problems with her leg, and she asked us to remember that. It's pretty severe today, so we want to remember that need today. Also as well, Brother Troy is not here. Troy Hughes is not here today, and I'd like to just place him before you and just trust that the Lord will undertake for our Brother Troy. He's obviously adjusting. 60 years is a long time for them to be married, and then to be without his wife is a big, big adjustment. And so we sure want to remember Brother Troy. And he has difficulty coming back to things that he and her did. And that's quite natural. So I want to remember him in prayer. He said, I'll be back. So let's bring all these needs before him this morning, and also whatever need you have upon your heart this morning as Sister Becky plays together. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts together. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, there's no greater consolation that we have in our hearts, no greater peace that we could have than to know that you are a God who's not busy with other things. You're not preoccupied and indifferent to what we go through, but you're attentive to our cry. You're one, Lord, who inclines your ear to the cry of your people. We know, Lord Jesus, that as long as we are in these bodies, we will cry. We will reach out to you, Lord. We will have needs. And so in Jesus' name, we place these concerns before you today, believing, Lord, that you have an answer of peace for every situation. You are a God who is a healer for every sick person. You are a God who consoles those who mourn and handles the situation best right to the very end of our lives. So we want to say, Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, and ask and pray that you would look at us through the sacrifice today, the blood that was shed on our behalf, that gives us communion, that gives us freedom, that gives us peace with God. And now, Lord, have your way, we pray. We commit this service, everything that's done today, into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning just for a few minutes, and we'll let our musicians take your places there. That'll be fine. Thank you. Appreciate you adding your part this morning. Now, let's do a little, just a little business here before we get into the word today. And we have a number of families who are not here today, a number of folks. Welcome to the summer. And, you know, people moving around and different things. Great to have the drums here with us today. And each and every one of you that are here, guests and visitors, God bless you. Great to have you here. And we want to remember June 4th, John and Hannah Harwell's anniversary. That was June 4th, Lillian Godwin and Jeremy Clayville. Lillian, how old is Lillian on her birthday? 5 years old. Really good. She was waiting for that. 5 years old. June 5th, John and Laura Harwell's anniversary. They're not here today. They're away celebrating that. And do you know how many years? 33? Really? That's a lot. We wish them a happy anniversary. June 7th, Mark and Jackie Sylvester's anniversary. They're not here today. We wish them happy anniversary. And John James' birthday as well, and the James family are away today as well in Puerto Rico. June 7th, which is today, the men's meeting registration opens up at 6 p.m. for HBT brothers only. And so this is not a sellable link. If somebody outside the church tries to log on to that, the computer will melt. So this is only for HBT brethren. And then next Sunday, same time, Sunday at 6 p.m., they will, the registration will be open. Keith, do you want to come on, or am I doing okay? Keith is our coordinator there for the men's meeting registration and for the operations there. So we'll just give Brother Keith a minute. And make sure we got the details right.
I move a lot slower than he does, but just to remind you, brothers, that fortunately, by God's grace, I was able to keep the price in the same this year. I knew that the expenses and everything was going up. We've had to cut out a couple things, but this link will be available. It'll be sent to you in the brothers' chat this evening.
WhatsApp.
The WhatsApp. And if you cannot pay yet, that's okay. You register to reserve your spot, see me, and we'll make sure that your spot is reserved and you've got until October the 11th to get it settled up. I hope it don't go that long, but that gives you some time. Do not, I can't stress this enough, do not share this link. We have a massive waiting list already of people that want to attend because the ministry is fantastic this year. It is every year, but it's even more so this year. So I encourage you, you've got plenty of time to make plans. You guys here, you don't have to worry about booking flights and stuff like that. It's October the 9th to the 11th. So please, we would love to have a massive representation. I would love to fill the conference center up with HBT only if I could. So, but do not sell that link or share it or whatever. Everybody else will have their opportunity next week. You will lose your spot if you do. In the world of IP tracing, we can find you. Yeah. God bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Keith. This is quite a lineup for ministry. As you can see there, and we will close that out. The registration will close out very quickly as a result of that. And I think it's an important gathering for our brothers. So you certainly want to take advantage of that and register quickly because that link is only good for the first week. So we appreciate Brother Keith's work and a lot of the administrative details and places to stay and all that kind of stuff. Brother Keith looks after that. But this year, I'm excited to announce that Brother Ken Boos is coming. And he's coming with his coffee. Brother Ken Boos owns a coffee shop in South Carolina, in Beaufort. He owns two. And one year he came to the retreat, and that was a blessing. But it'll be a double blessing because he's coming to the men's meeting this year, and he's going to bring his operation. So we are very, very excited about that. That's not funny, Brother Aaron. I mean, that's important. Next Sunday as well will be our last Sunday school session. And we will have communion service as well at 4 p.m. So that will be next Sunday. Then we did receive confirmation of August 15th for our family day. Mark it on your calendar. And you'll get more details as you go. Some of you folks were here in the original family day that we held, and we're going back to the same area. So mark that on your calendar, and that will be a blessing. So for the men's meeting, also you want to mark a calendar for that. And then also I just wanted to say that this has just been a real blessing, and hundreds of these pictures that we have received from brethren in different parts of the world who are receiving Bibles, and many of them in very remote areas. And so it's really wonderful to see that. And this is Sierra Leone and Liberia and Tanzania. And some of you may have seen some of the pictures from in the South Pacific, Papua New Guinea, And they say there are hundreds of languages in Papua New Guinea, and we're just trying to make sure that the believers are serviced there and being able to receive new Bibles, so it's really nice. We're still involved, obviously, in book publishing that is going on, and it just continues to roll out there. But to see the believers receive the Bibles, let me tell you, they're very, very thankful for that. And Aaron, we certainly do appreciate your work in that department. All right, we have two sisters who were not here on last Sunday to receive their new Bible. So I'll tell you what, to ease the pain, let's have both of you come up at the same time. Abigail McCafferty and Ella Kate Jackson, if you'd come on up here, we won't have you say anything. We just want to acknowledge the fact that we're proud of your accomplishment in receiving your diploma for high school graduation. And we appreciate you guys. We pray that the Lord will lead you and guide you in the days ahead. May God bless you both. Okay. We appreciate our graduates. Now, I want to jump into this. This is a new topic that I want to deal with. But before I do that, I just wanted to take a minute here to alert you to something that is I guess we'd say it's trending today. And that is that there is a significant statistical drop in popularity is not really a good word, Israel's growing isolation in the world is real. And America has always stood for Israel and stood with Israel. Statistically, those numbers are changing very quickly. So in 2022, there was 40% of Americans across the board who favored Israel and supported its cause in its homeland. Today, that number is 60% with an unfavorable view. So they're 60% of Americans have an unfavorable view of Israel and its leadership today. And the consensus is, and I've got a sheet here. As a matter of fact, I should probably print this out and let you have it because it reveals multiple sources that I was using here in order to make sure what I was saying here was correct. And I don't just jump on the internet and just, you know, pick a headline. There are I was looking at a very broad range of news resources here, and even ones from the Middle East, like Al Jazeera and the Washington Council, Washington Institute, and so forth. There's an article here by Fox News, one by the Pew Research Group, and so forth. And they're all essentially saying the same thing, that analyzing UN General Assembly voting trends from 2017 to 2025, it documented Israel's diplomatic isolation in the current environment. And 142 of 164 voting nations endorsed dual states in Israel, which is not new. However, what's really interesting to watch is how that feeling is permeating the younger generation in America. And so that will obviously make a difference. And, you know, I had never thought, and of course, when you think you have God's word and God's prophecies figured out, you're generally wrong. And I had never thought about or considered the fact that a war like is currently happening in the world, and it's the isolation militarily could be the factor that isolates Israel from the rest of the nations when the other nations would turn against her. And I had always thought it would be something like a political issue or a financial issue or something else. And yet here is Israel involved in a military struggle and essentially moving away from its support and allegiance with the United States in the outplaying of this war. So I'm just throwing this out there because it's something to watch. And when you'll see headlines pop up here, you know, in your news sources from time to time. And it's just interesting to take a watch because that is the thing that Zechariah talks about so clearly, that one day no one will stand with Israel, and that will be the time when the prince will stand for Israel. And so it doesn't happen generally the way we think. It doesn't happen the way that we would like many times, but it will happen, and it will happen in some form. And so therefore it's a very interesting development, and that's one thing that I'm certainly watching myself. Just wanted to pass that on. Let's stand to our feet and let's take a reading this morning. We're going to go in the book of Romans chapter 8. I've had this phrase go over and over and over in my mind over the last several weeks. I've been in school. And I have enjoyed being in school with all the ministry that we've had. And the things that we have been able to enjoy. And this phrase is the manifestation of the sons of God. And so I want to title this morning, Creation's Release, and we'll just see how far we'll be able to get, Lord willing. Now, there's less people here today, but proportionally, that means there's more for you. Okay, we don't have to spread it around so far. So let's just study this today. Let's look into this subject here. And it's one that I have never really dealt with before. Romans 8, 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even as we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you would take this word, bless it by anointing it and revealing it to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Now, I spend a lot of time on the opening screen because I want to make sure I have the right scripture and I make sure I want to have the right title that gives us the right direct, points us in the right direction. It's just something that I do. And I thought about this phrase, creation's release, and then I realized, it dawned on me, that really is what harvest is. It's the release of what is grown. It's the release of what came as a result of the planting, right? Creation's release is the harvest. And I didn't realize that when I designed this slide here. But it dawned on me that that's really what the husbandman has been waiting for all the time. But remember now, he's not waiting for corn and soybeans. He's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. He's waiting for a specific thing. And Paul writes about this in a very specific and a precise way. And that's what caught my attention. And I wanted to deal with that. And you'll find that even though this may seem a little academic, this is very relevant to us because it affects every one of us. It affects every single one of us when it comes to the manifestation of the sons of God, because that manifestation has to be there in order to trigger other things, as we read in our scripture here. So what we are as the family of God and as the people of God, is already settled. Predestination secures our destiny, doesn't it? Predestination secures our destiny. We know what we are. We're the children of God. We're the family of God, sons and daughters of God. We also can say that we're members of the bride of Christ. We can say that we're members of the body of Christ. Isn't that right? Now, it's okay to have multiple designations. I mean, I'm a father. I'm a brother. Natural brother and spiritual brother. I am a son. I am a grandfather. Proud of it. I am a pastor. I have multiple designations, as do many of you. And we can hold all of those in the same way that God himself holds all of those. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a savior. He is a creator. He's all of those things, and they don't conflict because it's okay to have. It is appropriate for him to have multiple designations. And if you like, multiple offices that are performed in his world. And so therefore, what we are is already settled. Can you say amen? What we are is already settled. What we shall be is not yet seen. What we shall be is not yet seen, but what we are is already settled in the mind of God. God knew we'd be here. God knew we would stand here in the last day. God knew we would come from sin to salvation. God knew that we would receive the word of a prophet in the last day. God knew that we would be a member of the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, I'd be willing to say God knew you'd be a member of this church. God knew where you'd be sitting this morning. God knows exactly what's floating through that little mind of yours and mine. God knows exactly the end from the beginning. And the world, even though the world cannot read our sonship now, and that's true because they don't recognize with any sense of value the world now. They don't recognize with any sense of value or appreciation who you really are. They don't. The world does not recognize really who we are. They look at us as another church, as another oddball group. I mean, there are people who have been associated with the message, who have walked away from it, who think we're really odd. Yeah. Some people have more choice words for us than that. There are people in the government who think, well, you know, they're just a loose end out there. They're just a straggler church, not a part of anything really. They're kind of on their own. All of that really doesn't matter. But they certainly don't appreciate who we are. They don't recognize the sonship, the value of what God has made us. They don't realize the fact that living among them are people who have eternal life. Are you hearing me this morning? They don't realize that there are people that have a portion of God himself living inside them. Not just a theory, not just a hope, but it's a reality. And so forth. And so we would say that this message has come to, as Brother Tim said, to kind of let us know who we are for us to become comfortable with our true identity. Because we are not just a bunch of young people and a bunch of teenagers and a bunch of married people here just trying to stay off medicine until you leave this world. Hey, we're more than that. We are the family of God. We are actually the offspring. We are people who possess a gene of Almighty God inside of us. And you know that. You all are aware of that. But Brother Branham also says it this way, and I thought this was really good, Stature of a Perfect Man. This is an interesting sermon. And he says, then the word coming from here, coming from God, he said, manifests itself through each one of the. Now watch this quote. Let's read it slowly. Look at the board here and follow me. Then the word manifests itself through each one of these beings. That's us, the church, the body, and makes this complete being a tabernacle of the living God. Get all the members together and you have a complete tabernacle of the living God. A walking, living example of Christianity. Can I stop there for a second? That if this statement is true, then the word should create in us an example of true Christianity. The word should reflect an example, a walking, living example of Christianity. That's what he's saying. That the word expressed, the word manifested, the word alive in us, It actually reflects the kingdom of God. It actually reflects Christ in the world. And what Christ was, these people are, because his life is in there. Now that's quite a statement. What Christ was, these people are, because his life is in there. And admittedly, when Jesus was on the earth, there was a lot of people who just didn't realize who he was. They didn't value his sonship. They didn't value the person that was walking among them because we know that that was none less than God. Right? When Jesus was on earth, he was none less than God. But there was a lot of people who didn't know him. A lot of people didn't recognize him. There was a lot of people who didn't appreciate him. And there was a lot of people who, did not have any kind of spiritual understanding of who this was or what was happening in the world at the time it was happening. I said there was a lot of people in the world who did not have an appreciation for what was happening in the world when it was happening. Do you realize one of the greatest assets you have is to be able to recognize the voice in your day when it sounds? I mean, that's the thing that we all have in common, right? That we heard something in our day as it's unfolding, as it's going on. And God allowed you to recognize that, to hear that, and then to begin to walk with that. Now, some of you came to church because there was only one vehicle going and you wanted to go with it because you know that when you go with the family on Sunday, you get a free lunch. And so I get that. I understand that. And I'll tell you what, if you're in that category, and I don't even say that lightly, but I'll say this. If you're in that category, you got people in this church who are praying for you that you get more of a revelation than that, because we want you to have a desire to come to church in your heart. We want you to have a desire to be in the presence of God more than just a free lunch. There's more to it than just sitting in this church. And there's more to it than just hanging around the people of God. There's more to it than just a Sunday Wednesday ritual. There's more to it. There's a lot more to it. And I pray that God would so stir and open the word in your hearts that you would have to go. You just have to go because there's something drawing you into the presence of God, something that you enjoy, something that fills a need, meets a need in your life that nothing else can meet. Drugs can't do it. Money can't do it. Power can't do it. Success can't do it. There's no kind of peace like the peace the Prince of Peace gives you. And this is what Brother Bram's teaching us here, and I love this. This is the concluding statements in Stature of a Perfect Man. What Christ was, these people are because of his life. It's not because you go to the right church, or it's not because you were born in the right family. You know what? That has nothing to do with it at all. Nothing at all. What do you call it when you have when you pick two captains and you put everybody up against the wall and then you pick your team? Is there a name for that? What's it called? Yeah, that's called picking a person. Very good. What? Is there a name for that? No, yeah, you do it if you play. If you need two teams, right. If you need two teams, Theo, one more. A-B-A-B. Yeah, great. That's great. All right, so you got two captains and you start picking teams, right? So then you wind up with two groups on either side. That was great. That's a great break in the action. That was unplanned too. Now, a lot of times we think of predestination this way, that God picks us out of a lineup. Or that God, when you come to earth and you get baptized and you go visit Jeffersonville and you got your own set of books and you're in the church, you're part of the church, then God must say, there's my man. I'm going to pick him. But I need you to understand something, that God did not choose us then. God chose us in a seed stage. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Watch what he says. Before there was a world, you were in God's thoughts to give you the Holy Ghost. Before there was a world, you were in God's thoughts to give you the Holy Ghost, because he knew you'd be wanting it. And he chose you in Christ before you or Jesus, the man, any of you was on earth. So God did not choose you because of your performance. God did not choose you because of your attendance. God did not choose you because of your parents. God chose you in seed form before the world even existed. Glory to God. So his choosing is not based on our conduct at all. But he says they are, watch what he says, what Christ was, these people are, because his life is in there, and they are in Christ. And their life is dead and hid in Christ through God, sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. Their life is dead and sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12, you reckon yourself dead, then you're born of faith, then virtue and these other things, faith and temperance and meekness and so forth, virtue and all these things are added unto you until you're a perfect living image of God. Wow. That's an amazing thing. And nowhere in stature of a perfect man and nowhere in the Bible do we find anywhere where God says, look, here's a grab bag full of virtues, pick out a couple and apply them. God doesn't do it that way. But by virtue of your new birth, God develops or brings out those virtues that are already in you. Would you agree with that? That God will develop those virtues by you hanging around in the presence of God, in the august presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's something that changes in your heart. At least it should. Something that changes in your heart over time. Something that changes in your life over time, so that what he's saying right here, they're in Christ. Their life is dead and hid in Christ. So there should be less of you and more of him. Someone asked me this week an interesting question. They said, is it wrong to be a free spirit? And this was a girl. Was it wrong to be a free spirit? My answer was, you can't help the way that God made you. But you have to make sure your free spirit and your free thinking doesn't interfere with the Word of God. Because free or not free, we all have to do things according to the Word. And remember, if we don't take anything away from the last 3 weeks, take away this, that your access to the full benefits of the covenant rely upon your obedience. Right? So there are some people who are born with a free spirit, you know, and they're here and they're there and that's just nature that I'm not pretending to be. I'm not. Some of you are. I'm not. And a free spirit's okay as long as your interpretation of things does not contradict with the Word. Like if you feel like if your free spirit takes you down an avenue where you think, well, I can cut my hair and I can live whatever way I want. I can live without restraint and I can love everybody because God is love and the world needs to see our love, and that's what I'm basing everything on, not on my conduct, not on my actions and not on my outward dress and so forth. I can basically live the way I want. Then your free spirit is interfering with the Word of God. Amen. And you can't do that. You can't do that. You're going to run in trouble with God when you take that attitude and you run that to its extent here. Now, let me just dwell on that a little bit. If you sit here and you mumble and grumble under your breath about me talking about you cutting your hair or trimming your hair, you just have not gone far enough yet. Because I know there are people who mumble and grumble and in there, you know, you sit here and look like a, you know, a pretty rose here in the church. And, oh, God bless you, Pastor. Lovely sermon today. And you know what? That's nice. But lots of people have said that to me. And you can sit there and mumble and grumble and complain because here he goes again. Here he goes again, talking about things that I wish you wouldn't talk about. Let me tell you something. In my capacity as pastor of this church, I have a right to talk about everything between these two covers. And if I don't, I'm not doing my job. And if I'm not, you ought to find yourself a new pastor. And I will tell you something, that even if there are things preached that we don't like, we ought to be asking God, why does that bother me? Why does that trouble me? Because I will tell you, it doesn't mean that you're lost, but I'll tell you what it does mean. You haven't gone far enough. Can I give you another one? I mean, since we're here and we're already in trouble, Take your Bible for a minute. Take your Bible for a minute and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Every one of you young people ought to know this verse because you haven't been to youth retreat unless you've heard it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I've mentioned it here many times because I think this is a good principle and something true for us to observe, especially in our loose, immoral age that we live in. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, COD, First Church, right? Questions and answers, First Church. They're writing Paul about things, wanting to have answers. Here's my answer. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Guess what the question was? Is it all right for a single man to touch a single woman? Is it all right for him to hold hands with her? They're not married now. Is it all right for them to hold hands? Is it all right for them to snuggle up for pictures? Is it all right for them to, embrace one another? He says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, because this kind of touch, the definition of the word touch here means a touch with the intent to touch again, to touch further. Okay? That's what this is. Now, so for instance, if I come over and I give Henry the right hand of fellowship here, that's a touch, isn't it? And that's not really intended to do anything else but just, hey, bro. But this word is not that word. This word is a word that a couple who enjoys intimacy would use. It is a meaning that it's a touch designed to touch further, to touch more. And Paul said it's good for a man not to do that. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, because that's the end result of that kind of action. You understand what he's saying? This is pretty straightforward. So to avoid this, get married. And let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband, and so forth. There's a remedy. But prior to the remedy being fulfilled, you've got a boundary. And that boundary requires only one thing, and that is obedience. It does not involve argument. It does not involve what everyone else is doing it. It doesn't involve any sort of, there's not much leeway here. It's either you stay away and stay in the realm of message volleyball, which is usually pretty safe, or get married. And that's the boundary Paul is giving us here. Now, that's just an example. It could be hair, it could be paying your tithes, it could be anything. That's just an example. This example happens to come to mind. This example is one that's obvious. But I would say this, that if you're fresh out of the world, if you're here and you've only heard about Brother Branham last week, and you come into the church, you might be excused for not knowing this. But not you young people. Not you young people. Because you and your families have heard it a long time. The greater condemnation comes for that group of people, not those that are unaware, but for those that have heard and don't care. The greater condemnation is for them. That's why my responsibility is to preach it, to give you the whole counsel of God, the things that are popular, the things that are not. It's important for me to give you everything that'll get you from this world to your place in the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what my job description is. Real simple, real straightforward, and that's what I'm committed to. And you should be praying that I do that, even if I rub my nails against a chalkboard sometimes and it does not sound good or doesn't feel good. That really doesn't matter. Our feelings are not important here. What is important is that the access to the full benefits of what's under the covenant are yours when you obey God. And you are at your best when you obey God. The manifestation of the sons of God is an expression of that life that is in them, because it is not your life, it's his life. Amen. And he wrote this. This is Christ in print. And so therefore, it's one thing not to know. It's another thing to know and say, I'm above that. I don't have to listen to that. I don't have to do that. That was for that day, or that was something else. I don't have to listen to the pastor. I don't have to listen to Brother Branham. Listen, that's entirely your choice. That is entirely your choice. Like all the other aspects of salvation are entirely your choice. You don't have to come. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to follow the Lord's way. You don't have to surrender your heart to Christ. That's a choice, right? That's a choice. But if you choose the way, then you have to choose the word that defines the way. Because if you don't, you're living a contradictory life. And that's what doesn't work. That's what doesn't please God. Are we okay? Boy, what a great start. Maybe we should have got one more minister for another weekend. All right, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Sorry, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans, the 8th chapter. We are settled already. But what we shall be is not yet seen. Because we are still veiled. We're veiled in this body. One day we will be released from this body. And we will seize that everlasting prize. So in a sense, your present is hidden, except in your obedience. But your future is certain. If you're a child of God, your present is hidden from the world. Your future is certain. And the whole creation is leaning forward, waiting for the day when the sons of God will be fully manifested. Now, in Romans chapter 8, we have, this is, to me, it's an extraordinary thing. It's an amazing thing that Paul says here. And let's look at it here. In verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature is not a person. The creature is the thing created. The creature is not us. That's not us. That verse does not apply to us. The earnest expectation of the creation, it waiteth for us. It waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature, the creation, just like the Garden of Eden, was made subject to vanity. Not willingly. What does that mean? That means that God cursed the earth, not because the earth did anything wrong. God cursed the earth because of the sin of man. Listen, and when man is redeemed, the earth also will be redeemed. Because the earth was cursed with man and because of man. Are we okay? The earth was cursed because of man's sin. Isn't that right? I mean, God is in the Garden of Eden there, and he says to Adam, he says, you know, now out of the sweat of the brow will thou, make your living and, you know, scratch a living from a cursed earth here. And God did that not because the earth had done anything wrong, but God did it because of Adam's sin. And everything in the lower creation, all the animals, all the earth, all the creation, were all affected by Adam's sin. Paul is telling us here that when God redeems mankind fully, when we come to the manifestation of the sons of God, and that's completed, guess what? The earth comes back to its state just like God made it in the first place. The redemption of the earth is tied to the full redemption of mankind. You are not fully redeemed today, even though you are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, sanctified, justified, you're all of that, but you're not fully redeemed because you're still sitting in these bodies. You're fully redeemed. You're finished when you step into that new body. You take everything that God redeemed on the inside and you step into that new body. That's when you're fully redeemed. Are we okay? Because you're still living in a body of sin. You're still living in a body that came from mom and dad. And you're not fully redeemed until you get into that body. And creation knows it. Creation knows that. And this is what Paul is telling us in Romans 8, 19. The earnest expectation of the creation. Paul's words actually imply that the creation, the earth itself, has an expectation. And that's why you see weather patterns doing what they're doing. That's why you see the earth, the oceans heating up like they're doing. And all the other tilting of the earth and riding on its axis and all the earthquakes and all the other things that are happening, there's something that's happening in the earth. That's not just the green movement out there. Let me tell you, that's not just the green people out there who are trying to, we can start a solar panel company. Well, that's great. If you want to do that, that's certainly fine. Or you want to, sit down with Peter and figure out how to conserve electricity. That's great and so on. But let me tell you, this is not a natural phenomenon. There's something supernatural that's taking place. Amen. In nature, because that's a creation. And I'm just reading you what Paul says. The creation has an earnest expectation. The creation knows somehow. The creation knows somehow because there's an intelligence in creation. Do you believe that? Some of you are looking at me like, well, what planet did you come off of? Nature has an intelligence. If it doesn't, why do the animals come out of the trees and come out of the wall prior to an earthquake and get away from the potential dangers that haven't happened yet, but somehow or another there's an intelligence that guides them? Why doesn't the tide come on shore and keep going? But it doesn't. It draws back. Right? Because God's got laws. God's got intelligence over creation. And that's why when you study creation, you study animals, and you study, the world around us, it's got an order to it. Even though it's fallen, it's got an order to it. And there's cycles of life and all the other things that take place in our world. So nature itself has, it has a guide, if you like. It has an overseer, which is the Spirit of God, because the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. But it's under a curse. It's not going to stay under a curse because that's not what God created in the beginning. In the beginning, God created a beautiful place, a Garden of Eden there, a paradise that man and woman could enjoy. And you know what? God doesn't want to leave the earth cursed. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us and the Message tells us, God doesn't want to leave the earth cursed. He wants to restore that back to a place of peace and beauty. In the same way that God did not want to leave you cursed, and in the nature of your natural earthly father, but God wanted to redeem you and bring you back so that you could live and express the glory of God in your own life. Amen. Are we okay? And you can even do that in the old body that you got and you're sitting in this morning. Because you've come through those stages of redemption, and then one day you'll drop this flesh and you'll seize an everlasting prize. All right, so let's go back here and look at what Paul writes. I mean, this is pretty amazing because this is what he says about the creature. It was subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason I have subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered. Ha! Creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So in other words, what Adam lost, we will eventually obtain again. We will come back to what Adam lost. This is what all of this is about. And 22, for we know that the whole creation, now he's not talking about us, he's talking about the creation still. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travail together in pain until now. And so that's what's happening in the world around you. Now, if you look at 23, here's where we come back in the picture. And not only they, but ourselves. So not only the world around you, not only nature, but we also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So there's an expectation in the creation. And what Paul is saying is that there should be an expectation in our hearts for the culmination, for the coming of the Lord. That concludes it all. It's in creation already, and it's working. Like I say, there's all kinds of green movements out there. There's all kinds of, things out there, and scientists who predict and say, well, it's this, it's global warming, or it's this, or something else. Let me tell you, contrary to what you may think, there is something happening in nature. It's just that we can't let the scientists define it. Let's let the Bible define it, okay? Let's let a prophet define what's going on. Not scientists, because scientists don't go to the God, they don't go to the Jesus parts to figure out what's going on. They go to their scientific theories, and naturally, that's how they're trained. That's what they know. But for us now as believers, we go back to the Bible and we realize, you know, God's going to restore because God is a restorer. Would anybody say amen to that? God's a restorer. So therefore, if the earth is his, he's going to restore that. Just like if you're his, he's going to restore you. And there's an expectation in the earth because one day, hey, this all this chaos is going to stop. We're going to come back to where the lion and the lamb lay down together. Right? We're going to come back to where there's no more deserts and there's no more snowstorms like we think about. There's no more flash floods and hurricanes up in the mountains. There's no more of that. But God will restore the earth back to a place of beauty and peace like he had in mind in the first place. Amen. And God's going to do that. And the world, the earth itself, somehow knows that and lives in expectation of that. Paul says, not only them, but us also have the first fruits of the Spirit. I could ask you, how many people here are the first fruits of the Spirit? Well, you know, I hope that you do, and I hope you know that you do. But he says the creation lives in expectation. We also should live in expectation. Now, the earth is senseless, not stupid. The earth is without sight, and hearing, feeling, emotions, right? The earth doesn't have senses like we do. And if the earth's without senses, this thing is about to happen. What should we be like who have senses and have the sixth sense, which is enough faith and understanding to believe God's word? That's why I say, if you can hear me or some minister or read your Bible or listen to a sermon, which I hope you do, and disregard flippantly and pass off the, it doesn't matter, I don't need to do that. I'm above that, I don't need to do that. You haven't gone far enough. And I fear for you. Someone who went to this church recently sent something that discredits Brother Branham, discredits the message, discredits everything. And I thought, You don't realize what position this puts you in, this former brother. You're putting yourself lower than the creation. The creation knows better than you. The rocks that Jesus said would cry out know better than you. Because they live in expectation that we're right at the coming of the Lord. This is about to happen. And things are moving. And God is getting ready to take his bride out of here. And Israel's back in her land. And all the other geopolitical things that are going on. And all the other natural phenomena that's going on. Oh, I'll tell you what. The earth is excited. We should be even more excited than the earth we're standing on here. Because we have the Holy Ghost. And we have the first fruits of the new birth. And we have the ability to be able to look around and say, it's not happening by chance. But every 2,000 years something happens. And we're right at the cusp of a shift in reality. And it's going to blow this world right out of its orbit here and renovate the whole thing back again. And we're going to be saying, hey, wasn't there supposed to be a message come? This is tribulation. And God gave you enough revelation to realize we're not in tribulation, but we're on the cusp of it. We're on the edge of it. And by now, you should have figured out we should be looking. We should be looking in one direction for one thing, and that is the coming of the Lord to get us out of here. You should be saying in your heart, every service we come together, even so, Lord Jesus, come. We should be saying in our hearts, Lord, help, take out anything in my life that doesn't belong and put in only what fits in the kingdom I'm going to. Slay that in me. That doesn't belong. Slay that attitude. Slay that filthy mouth. Slay that desire for me to cut my hair and look like the rest of the girls out there. And slay that in me that wants to take sexual liberties, physical liberties with a girl or a boy. Hey, it's easy for me to preach it. I mean, it's easier for me to talk about it than it is for you to endure it in the trenches. Because I'll tell you what, it's real. It's hard. When you're in a position of temptation, when you're in physical, sexual, potentially sexual temptation, that's hard. That's hard. Because you got a nice guy, you got a nice girl, you got a private situation, which is not always good. Not always good. The older you are, the more liberties you have. Sometimes liberty is not your friend. Sometimes aloneness is not your friend, because the temptations are real. And for you to resist and pull up your values and morals. What did Brother Barry say at the retreat that year? I know he said something about this. It's like somebody here said a little while ago, I listened, I grew up listening to it, but it didn't matter until I was into it. But now if you're at an age where you're into it, if you don't know, you ought to find out. Because you can be on the wrong side of this equation. You can turn out like Joseph running from Mrs. Potiphar, or you can turn out on the other side of that experience, which would not have been good and not pleasing to God. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. Now here's Paul telling us that the creation, the world around us knows enough to know that something is happening. And everything in the creation he describes is groaning and travailing, birth pains. I don't want to say that too loud. Birth pains, you know, like the onset of something, the inevitability of something that's coming. And we, Paul says, it's written all over everything. It's written all over the world around us. But here's what I want you to go away with. It should be written across your faces. It should be written across your decisions and your actions. The idea here that's found, just briefly here. The idea is when we talk about earnest expectation, there's a Greek word there. It means a rare and vivid word built from the head and away. There's two words there, head and away. Now, what does that mean? When you have an earnest expectation, you're like this. You're stretching your head as far away from your body as you possibly can because there's a parade coming down the road. And I want to see it. I told you before about being on the street when the Pope is coming down. You know, today in Madrid, there was over 1 million people who were lined up in a certain part of downtown Madrid. And you talk about excited. Man, they were excited. News described it there today. And you know what? They're not on the side of the road with their phones, you know, just waiting. Oh, there he is. Hey. And then they're craning their neck, and they're trying to look out. They're leaning over the police barricades to get a view. There he is. And that's the way I've been there. I've been in those crowds. I've seen that thing. I've been in the White House. I've been in the Vatican where the Pope comes in, and everybody waiting in expectation. And you know, they're craning. Their head is as far away from the body as is comfortable. Let's put it that way. And that's what that word means. When Paul wrote that there's an earnest expectation, it means that the people are not just sitting there hoping Brother Barry would quit. Because my phone is dinging and dinging and dinging. And I got to go to the restroom. Got to go to the restroom. You think people here do that, Brother Barry? No, I don't. The eyes locked on the horizon, watching for the first sign of what's coming. The watcher, who with his head erect, outstretched, turns away from all else to fix the gaze upon the object expected. Turning away to the thing that's expected. Paul has got, he's got anticipation written all over this, that the sons of God, I mean, they're looking with expectation. They're looking with strained necks to see what it is that's coming. And they're waiting for this thing to be fulfilled. It's not just a single sigh, but an unbroken, sustained ache that does not let up. We're here another week. We're back again in church. One day we won't meet here. One day it'll be gone. One day we'll be taken out of here. But until then, we come back together, we meet, we hear a little more, we get exhorted a little bit more. Pastor's explaining why we should be excited. Not that we should just get excited, but it's important to know why we get excited. Hey, listen, no offense, but you can go to lots of meetings and get excited,
But I think it's really important to know why you should be excited. That's why I think teaching matters and teaching has a place, just like getting excited has a place. Bless them that do it. I said, bless them that preach it. Bless them that get people excited. I'm not an exciting kind of a guy. But I like to... No, it's all right. It's all right. You can politely laugh. But I'm not an exciting guy. I remember one time I went to a church to hold a revival. And you know what? I was the only one that went to the altar at that meeting. I was. I tried to give an altar call. It didn't work. Pastor got up, who was more evangelistic than me. He got up and said a few things. I was at the altar. I thought, oh, I needed to go. And I did. I was the only one. So I thought, that was the beginning and ending of my evangelistic career. I'm not an exciting guy. Some people can get up and open their Bible and people are... I don't mean that carnally at all. Should I not have said that? I think I should not have said that, Jeff. You need to stop me when I get rolling on things like this. But I'm not an exciting guy. But I will tell you what, I like to explain to people why they should get excited. Yes, there is a reason to be excited in this last day. And I like to tell people why. Well, here it is in the Bible. Hello? Here it is in the Bible. You young people are waiting for some exciting preacher to come. Hey, what you should be waiting for is the Holy Spirit, pour yourself out upon me that I can get excited about the word as it opens up. And no matter who preaches it, no matter what kind of a meeting I'm in, whether I'm in a camp meeting with a million young people who like to play sports, or whether I'm here at church with just us, you know, just us. With a bunch of people who just after church go get their lunch out of the car, go and sit in the fellowship hall and eat it. You know what? That may seem unexciting, but that doesn't matter. What matters is what the Holy Spirit will open up to you in the Word. Right? Lord, let me see why we're here. Why are we here worshiping like we do? Why are we here gathered with the people that we are? Why do we pray one for another? Why do we come and read from the scripture and hear all these things that we hear? It's because God loves you and he wants you to know. And he wants to get you from here to there. And God's doing, like Brother Branham said in the beginning here, God is taking those virtues one at a time, working on them, building something in you. Because he's not preparing you to live in this world. He's preparing you to live in the kingdom that we're going to. Right? And God's at work doing that. And so therefore, there's a group of people who are waiting for the manifestation. All nature, all creation is waiting for the manifestation. The sons of God are sons now. The world simply can't see it. And that's the problem a lot of times, you know, that we know that's true. We hear it in church and we go home and something happens to you and say, maybe I'm not. And that's not the Spirit of God telling you that. That's your enemy that is telling you that. The world can't see it. There are times when you can't see it because the only thing you see is your mistakes. The only thing you see is that your hair won't do right that day, or, you know, you're 16, you never had a girlfriend. And a lot of times you think, well, I'm subpar. I'm just not up to it, and all the other things that we think about ourselves. But the sons of God are not sons of God by what we've done. The sons of God are by what God predestinated from before the foundation of the world. Before there was a world, before there was a Jesus, there was you. Are we okay? When I say before Jesus, I mean the person of Jesus Christ standing on the earth, because that physical body wasn't around everywhere. But yet, there was something in him that was around, because he said in John chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. Right? I come from God, I go to God. That's what he said. So, that's your definition of eternal life. So, the revelation, bottom line here, the apocalypse, the revelation, the revealing, is the day the covering is removed and the hidden ears stand revealed in glory. So when God puts the veil off, he's not turning you into anything. He's only showing what is behind the veil. When God pulls the veil off, in other words, when we step into another dimension and we step into that body, God's not creating you for that body. God has already done that. And you step into a new body that he's made. Are we okay? I mean, you don't get baptized when you get over on the other side. You're not going to repent when you get over on the other side. That's to be done over here. Hello? If you're going to listen to tapes, listen to them over here. You're going to have Brother Branham over there. I love the tapes, but I'd like to sit down and listen to Brother Branham. I don't know about you. It gets better. You have all five Elijahs over there. Right? And you'll have David leading the singing. One of them, I'm one of them. And then afterwards, you know, I mean, they'll call, to close in prayer and have Daniel come up and close in prayer. It's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Is Jeremiah and Isaiah taking up the offering? Here's a dollar, you know. God bless you. You know what I'm saying? And then we go over and have a lunch afterwards, right? We have a lunch. And here's Sarah serving. And here's Mary serving. Here's Martha. Now, you're all smiling. Oh, yeah, Brother Barry. But they'll all be there. What would you rather do, listen to a tape or listen to Brother Branham? Yeah. I'd rather listen to Brother Branham myself. I thank God for the tapes. I thank God for the books. Printed a lot of them. I thank God for all of that. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather have the real thing over there. I'd rather be in a place where I could sit down. Wouldn't you love to sit down and have 10 minutes with Brother Branham and ask him a question? Wouldn't you love to have Brother Branham pray for you? Give you a word? I mean, how much would we love that on this side over here? How much would we love to sit down with the Apostle Paul and say, what did you mean when you wrote this? And how does this fit with this over here? And, you know, just to have him, just throw a Bible verse out there and let him expound on it. Oh, Brother Branham said many times, he said, wouldn't you love to have been there and listened to that teaching? What an amazing thing. And Brother Branham says, and today, people will stay home, call themselves Christians, listen to such characters as Pat Boone, Elvis. Can I substitute some names in here? Huh, I'd love to. And those who sing hymns on Sunday, they're out in the bar on Saturday night, and look at them things. They look at them kissing them women, things out there. That Hallmark, I mean that Hollywood stuff. When no man should ever kiss a woman till he's, say it, married to her. If a guy wants to kiss you and kisses you before you're married, you know what? What is there left for him to respect after he gets married? If he doesn't respect the word on this side, why would he respect the word on that side? If he doesn't respect you enough as a sister on this side, why would he respect you on that side? Or a sister to a brother. Why? And Brother Branham says, no, I'm not sure how cloudy that is. It's not cloudy to me. No man should ever kiss a woman till he's married to her. That's male and female's glands crossing. Let it be whatever it be. It's wrong. Now, again, you have a choice. You have your freedom. We live in Laodicea, people's rights. Do what you want. I'm not always with you. Do what you want. I'm not following you around. I'm not in the back seat of the car. You have a choice. But to me, these are boundaries. These are things, if we obey them, they give us access to the full benefits of the covenant. Is it possible a son of God or a daughter of God can make a mistake? Absolutely. Absolutely. What should I do about it, Brother Barry? Repent. Ask God forgiveness. And say, Lord, help me not to fall in that trap again. Help me not to fall in that trap again. And go on, live your life, serve the Lord, obey His word. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. Are we okay? Because let me tell you what God's in the business of doing. Jesus said, at that day you'll know that I'm in the Father and God's in you, and all that God was, He poured into Christ. We've heard this. And all Christ was, He poured into the church. So it's God above us, God with us, God in us. Right? Condescending. What's He doing? Next line, making a way for me to get back. He's not making a way for you to get further from God. He's making a way for you to get back. He's not asking you to pay the price to get back. He's asking you to obey the word that He gives us. He's not asking you to pay a price. You don't have to pay a toll at the gate. You don't have to shed your blood. You don't have to give your life, lay your life down and have a Roman soldier beat it up. You don't have to do that. He did that. What you got to do is simply obey what he tells us to do in order to get back. And bring his people back to manifested sons of God, like in the Garden of Eden. That's the plan. That's the big picture. That's why the manifestation of the sons of God matters, because it's a trigger for creation. It's a trigger for everything else. It concludes when the sons of God are manifested. And Paul is saying that even the creation has an expectation. You know this. And if the creation has it, if you could talk to the Pacific Ocean, if you can imagine, if you could talk to the Pacific Ocean, say, what are you so worked up about? Well, things are changing. Things are changing in the earth. And we don't know what time, we don't know when, we don't know, but we know. And there's something exciting here. So we're slapping the shore and we're heating up. And if you could talk to the Pacific Ocean. Scientists are telling us the Pacific Ocean is saying something. They speak ocean. We speak scripture. Scripture says, if the creation is excited, church time? Oh, I'm coming with an expectation. I want to see him. I'm not so excited about Brother Barry because he's not an exciting person, but I'm excited about Christ, and he shows up and I go away with a revelation. Oh, I know he's visited me. I know he's revealed something to me. That's exciting. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'll slap the ocean and I'll slap the shore and I'll slap whoever and tell him, hey, slap your mama. Praise God. He showed me something today. I'm on my way. I'm coming back. That's what God wants. He wants me to come back to a manifested son of God. He wants me to come to something. This is not just coming to church until you die. It's coming back to something that God ordained in the beginning. Lord, bring me back to original design. Bring me back to what you had in mind in the first place. Bring me back to a body that will not grow old. Bring me back to everything that Adam forfeited in the Garden of Eden there. Bring me back to that full benefit of the covenant that you promised back there. Oh, I'll tell you what, that's exciting. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stop there. Let's stop there. Because what we are, friends, what we are is already settled. What we shall be is not yet seen. But what we are, that's already been established. What we are is already settled. Predestinations, I mean, if your name's not written on the Lamb's Book of Life, that's already settled. And you know what? If your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life, we know nobody can take it off. We know that nobody can take it off. Satan can't. Your neighbors who don't like you can't. You can't. Nobody can. Jesus put it on there with his own blood. Let me tell you, he's the only one that could take it off. And he doesn't. He doesn't. As a matter of fact, what I hear him do is take your seas and put them in the sea of his forgetfulness. Take your sins and put them in the sea of his forgetfulness. That's what he does. And he removes your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And then he justifies you so that you stand as though you never sinned in the first place. I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Oh, I'll tell you what. Every praise is to our God. Every praise. I think we should praise him. I think we should praise him louder than the Pacific Ocean. I said, I think we should praise him louder than the oceans around us. Louder than the loudest winds. I think we should praise him. Let's sing it this morning. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God.
my deliverer. Yes, he is.
Yes.
Yes, God, my healer, God, my deliverer. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Every praise. Come on, let's sing it now.
Every
word of worship. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders reject. Unto the mountain, and the mountain sits by me.
World all around me is sinking sin. Oh, Christ, the
solid rock I stay.
When I need a shelter,
take nothing for my journey now.
The heavens of my house, though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around. Oh, he's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want, worldly fame is a wound. Still, I couldn't take another for my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take another for my journey. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around. Oh, he's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want, worldly fame is a word. Still, I couldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Hey, I gotta make it. Never tempts me, tries to turn me around. And he's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want, the worldly fame, and still I wouldn't take another for my journey now.
Hallelujah. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. You believe that? He's alive. And you know what? He is here as much as he was here in the first age to get those people from the first age to the second.
And it was him that got those people through those dark ages to get them into the age of Martin Luther over there. You know, the first couple of ages and then come over to Martin Luther. And he was at work to get them to the next age. John Wesley, the next age. Pentecost, the next age. Bride age. You know, it's the same God. And the same God that brought everybody through those stages, that's the same God's going to take us into glory. Hallelujah. And you know what? The world's excited. Not the cosmos. The world's excited. I was in Starbucks this morning getting a cup of coffee, and I was just remarking. I'm not being critical. I was just remarking the amount of people who were not dressed to go to church. And I thought, what do you do on a Sunday? Like, I felt like asking him, what are you going to do today? You're dressed like that. You're obviously not going to church. What are you? I hope you're not. What do you do on Sunday? Because I'm dressed like this, right, in Starbucks. They're all looking at me like, you know, kids, move over.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Hey, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Oh, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. Ain't none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our stop us. And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Well, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. God, our God, our God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the worshipers arise. That's us. The earth is already standing on its feet. The earth is already, hey, they're already clapping. They're already aware. Now let the worshipers arise. Let the people who got a down payment. They got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They got a portion of the life of Almighty God in them. Let them arise.
Father, I can see that you are drawing light in the sin, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hands, and let your kingdom come.
Let it
live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Father, I can see that you are drawing a light in the sin. said, and I want to be standing on your side. Oh, holding your hands, let your kingdom come. Let your will be in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worship birds rise. Oh, yes. Let the sons and the daughters see. I surrender my all. I surrender to the King. Father, I can hear it growing louder, the song of the redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. And from our hearts it comes an echo. Oh, hear the heavens ring, this is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, yes, let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender my all. I surrender. Worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender my all. I surrender to the King.
Praise the Lord. Let's switch it to C. What are we singing? You are God alone. You are God alone. Let me say this as we sing this today here. We're gonna have a word of prayer and we're gonna wrap it up for this service. But if there's anybody at all, and I always say that, and I mean it sincerely, if there's anybody would like to have prayer, certainly welcome to come and be glad to pray with you. And you know, place your needs. Sometimes it's a good thing to just physically give your need to God, you know, and make a step. And I always, whenever I run into people, you know, like at a camp or something like that, I always tell them that Brother Branham taught us that if you make a step to God, He'll make a step to you. And here you are at this altar. You know, it's what I told people. Here you are. You made a step. Now, I said, believe that God's going to make a step to you now. Because that's what He delights in. When you have enough confidence, you're going to come and bring that need to Him. And He will come and minister to you. So, let's sing this here this morning. And if you have a need, I'd be glad to pray with you.
You're not a God created by human men. You're not a God dependent on any mortal man. You're not a God of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God. Just the way it is. Well, you are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right
Break every chain. is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants. What concerns me today? He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. Thank you.
found me. You have given life to me. Oh, and heartaches, broken pieces, wounded lives are why you died on Calvary. Oh, your touch, oh, it's what I long for, and you have given life to me.
Let's have a word of prayer together as we dismiss today. And Sister Karen Gutierrez just told me that her brother was in a severe accident in Columbia. He's in the hospital undergoing treatment. So I told her I'd give her a prayer cloth and she could send it to him. But if you don't mind, let's pray for him today and just trust that the Lord will undertake for him. Father, we thank you for this glorious time we've had in your presence, Lord. And it never depends on any one of us, Lord, but when you come by, good things always happen. Now, I pray, dear Father, that you would just bless these people who are in attendance today and all of our church members, Lord, that are scattered and traveling in different situations, some that are not well. We ask, oh God, that your mercies would extend to them. And Lord, there are special needs among us. And we think of Sister Karen's brother, and we don't know him. But Lord, we know that there's a believer who's calling out for his health and for his deliverance. And Lord, we know that when believers cry out to you, you hear us, and we believe that today. And so, Lord, bring healing to his body is our prayer. And we don't know any of the details or anything or how severe this is, but we know, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what you were ever able to do, you're still able to do today. And so, Lord, move in that hospital room, I pray. Bring healing. And we'll give you thanks and praise. Minister to those who are here today that need your touch. They needed to hear what was said. They needed to know what we know. And Lord, we'll commit the people and our concerns into your hands. We think of Sister Haley. We think of Sister Megan. And pray that your mercies would extend to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We fall down.
Sing it as you go today.
And we lay our crowns at the feet, of Jesus. For the greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry. Holy, 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 we cry.